This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We all remain in pain over what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. As we see the world powers consolidate its power against the defenseless and the imprisoned people of Gaza. We see world leaders say that there is no limit to the amount of people that they are willing to see killed. When we see these calamities befall our ummah, when we see the images of pain, when we see the bloodshed, when we see the lack of concern for our lives and the lives of our brothers and sisters, it is imperative that we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His Messenger. To see the truth of what we see today, we have to go back to Allah and His Messenger. We have to go back to the Book of Allah and to the example of the life of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when we see the images of them killing babies, when we hear even that there are babies who the death certificate for the child was issued before its birth certificate, we can read in the Quran. We can go back to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can find examples like the example of Fir'aun when he is ordering the killing of babies, worried that one of these babies might grow up and overtake him. We can read in the Quran the example of Ashab al-Ukhdud, the people of the trenches, who built the trenches and the ditches and filled it with fire and would throw the mother and her baby in with it. The story of Fir'aun, the killing of the babies, reminds us that even those who are in power, that are in control, that have the armies, that have the wealth, that have the strength, that are so ruthless, so cruel, that they are willing to kill babies, even they cannot overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they cannot outrun the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah has a plan, they are going to lose no matter what. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support the believer in ways that the believer does not even think is possible. So while Fir'aun kills the babies to exterminate those who he fears may take away his power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes it that the very baby who would grow up to overpower him is raised inside of his own home. It's a reminder to us that no matter how bleak the future looks like, no matter how cruel it might be, there is a bigger plan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His plan will outrace all of the planning that they have. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah has full power and control over His affairs, and most of the men do not know. The story of Ashab al-Ukhdud, the people of the ditch, when they are rounded up by the king and told that unless they reject their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless they believe in the king, they will be thrown into the fire. This reminds us that our very belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that you believe in Allah azza wa jal, is enough for you to be an enemy. وَمَا نَقَبُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ They had nothing against them except that they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This very belief necessitates that you worship Allah. And if it necessitates that you worship Allah, it necessitates that you center Allah in your life. And that very belief undercuts the tyrants of the world. So that very belief is always going to be fought. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us of a mother with her baby, and she's hesitating when they are demanding that she renounce her belief in Allah, demanding that she believes in the King. She is hesitating because of her baby and because of her love for the baby. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the baby to speak. And the baby says to her mother, "O mother, be patient. O mother, be patient, for you are upon the truth." And when she receives this miracle, she throws herself and her baby into the fire. The story reminds us of so much. One is that in the moment of hardship and in persecution, in that moment of persecution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believer a miracle. And right now we're seeing the people of Gaza and we're wondering, the whole world is turned away from them. Believe me, they are receiving miracles. Believe me, the water that wouldn't be enough for one person is lasting dozens of people. The bread that wouldn't be enough for one child, 20 people are eating from it. And Allah is giving them rizq that you can't imagine. In the hardship, in the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them miracles. Just like He gave this mother miracles. And in this story we learn something else. Something very important. That we cannot judge the affairs according to the scales of the dunya. If we judge based on the scales of the dunya, who is the winner when we look at the people of the ditch? It would not be the believers who are thrown into the fire and are killed. The winner would be the king who's on his throne at the beginning of the story, and he's on his throne at the end of the story. If we judge based on the scales of the dunya, the winner is the king. He remains in power. He kills all those who disobey him. And today there are those who look at the people of Gaza and they say the ones who are dropping the bombs are winning and the ones who are receiving the bombs are losing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina fatanu al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat thumma lam yatubu falahum 'adhabu jahannam wa lahum 'adhabu al-hariq." That those who have tortured the believing men and the believing women and then have not repented, that indeed they will have the punishment of hell and the punishment of the burning fire. And as for the believers, the ones whom the onlookers would look at the believer and they would think they are losing. They would think they lost. They're thrown into the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat lahum jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar dhalika al-fawz al-kabir." That indeed those who have believed and done good deeds, they will have jannat. They will have the gardens. Beneath it, the rivers are flowing. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ This is the great success. This is the great victory. When you judge according to the Akhirah, when you have a broader, truer view of reality, then you realize that the mother and the baby were the winners. That they were the ones who had success. And those who are losing their lives today in the blessed land, where their very existence is an act of rebellion, they are the winners. But we have to have an akhirah-focused mentality. Think of Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, killed in the Battle of Uhud, Did he see Islam become dominant? Did he witness the conquest of Mecca? No. Was he victorious? Did he lose or was he victorious? He is Sayyid al-Shuhada. He is the master in paradise of all of the Shuhada, everyone who is a Shaheed. Think of the family of Yasir. Yasir and his wife Sumayya, who are tortured, of the first people to accept Islam, and they are tortured. Did they see Islam? Did they see the Muslims be anything other than a persecuted group? A handful of persecuted people? No. Did they see the Hijrah to Medina? No. Did they see the conquest of Mecca? No. Did they see the Sahaba establish the greatest of civilizations across the world? No. Did they lose? The Prophet ﷺ is walking by and he hears their screams of torture. And he tells them, Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idukum al-jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir, because your appointed time is in paradise. Your appointed place is paradise. This is victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us at the same time that the might and the power and the enjoyment of those who are oppressive that they may enjoy in this world, it does not indicate that they are the winners. Might does not equal right. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرًا. Allah says, let not those who disbelieve think that we are extending for them out of good. Don't think that we are extending your money, extending your power, extending your strength because we want good for you. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Allah says, we're extending this for them so that their sins increase. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And they will have a humiliating punishment. Their might and their power and their strength and their money is extended for them so that their sins increase. And as their sins increase, so shall the punishment upon them increase. What this world considers to be strength, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you is the cause of their destruction. We have to have a bigger view, one that extends beyond the dunya. When we see babies being killed, we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow injustices to go unanswered. إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. The vengeance of your Lord is severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Never think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressive have done. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. He is only delaying them for a day when their eyes will be staring in horror. That day may be soon or it may be far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the dua of Musa against Fir'aun. Musa made dua and Allah says, I have accepted your dua. And Ibn Kathir says the punishment on Fir'aun took many days. Didn't take one day. He didn't make dua and Allah says, I accepted your dua and the next minute Fir'aun is destroyed. No. He made dua against Fir'aun and Allah said, I accepted your dua. And Ibn Kathir said it took 40 years before the fall of Fir'aun. 40 years from that day. And between those days was persecution. Between those days were people being killed. Between those days we know the story of the mother being thrown into the oil with her children. These are lessons for us. After the day of Uhud, when the believers were dealt a heavy blow, more than 80 of the Sahaba were killed. And the munafiqun, the hypocrites, start to say, see, you cannot defeat Quraysh. They're too strong for us. That defeatist mentality that exists among some Muslims today. But Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you have been wounded, then the opponent has been wounded as well. And he reminds us that the believer doesn't get automatic victories. You don't get victory after victory after victory. No, sometimes you're going to have losses. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days we give to people in turn. You may win one day, you may lose one day. Why? Why do we have these losses? وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدًا. That Allah may make clear those who believe, and He may take martyrs. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah does not love those who are wrongdoing. There's a lesson for us. First lesson, لِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That Allah may make clear those who believe. Allah wants to reveal true believers. And today we see true believers. Sometimes we think the example of the Sahaba is like a storybook, it's a fable. It's something we tell our kids, we don't really believe it. How could these people actually have iman like that? Well then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals for you true iman. You see a man in Gaza, his entire family is killed, and the man says Alhamdulillah, and he's content with the decree of Allah. You see a woman in Gaza, her children are killed, she's crying, and she says Alhamdulillah, and she is content with the decree of Allah. Allah shows you real belief. You see a little girl where a building collapsed on her and they're digging her out. And subhanAllah, a miracle, she's still alive. They dig her out. And she's holding her hand, her finger up to Allah, and she's saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Repeating it over and over and over again. The little girl is ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is revealing for you true belief. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, we have tried the people before you, we gave tests to people before you, and Allah will make evident and clear those who are truthful to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will make clear the liars. Of the blessings as we see the liars. We see those who say, no, don't boycott. Don't boycott Israel. What are you doing? We see the liars who come and say, no, don't protest. We see those who use Islam to support this king or that king, this government or that government. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To let you see who is truthful and to let you see who is the liar. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاء. Allah will make clear those who believe, and He will take shuhada, He will take martyrs. It's a comfort for us that we know that these children are entering paradise right away. We see the generosity and the mercy of Allah even in the darkest of moments. We see the people of Gaza are gaining victory even as they are being killed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them shahada. And we remember, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, that indeed your Lord is not unjust to His servants. But there's another point for us to think about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. That all you who believe, if you support Allah, if you support the cause of Allah, then Allah will support you and plant your feet firmly. If you show support for the cause of Allah, Allah will support you and grant you victory. As long as we are opposing each other, oppressing each other, harming each other, betraying one another, as long as we are abandoning the Quran, abandoning the masajid, stingy in our sadaqah, as long as we are betraying the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, how do we expect support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? On what grounds can we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His support? Yes, the personal sins that we do could be the reason of calamities befalling the ummah. In the same way that your dua and your sadaqah and your standing and speaking the truth might be the cause for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the ummah victory, our personal sins could be the cause of the calamities. There's a story mentioned in the books. There's no chain of narration. It might be one of the Israeliyat. Some of the scholars mention this story that Musa alayhi salam and the people had a drought. And so they called upon Allah. They made dua, "Oh Allah, send rain upon us." And Allah said to Musa, "There is a man amongst you who's been disobeying for 40 years. Unless he leaves you, I'm punishing all of you." So all the people are punished because of the one person. So Musa tells the people, "Whoever amongst you is this person who's been disobeying Allah for 40 years, leave us. Leave us so we can get the rain." And then lo and behold, the rain starts to come. And Musa makes dua to Allah. He says, "Oh Allah, the man never left. Nobody left. Whoever this person was, they never left." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "This rain is because of my joy from his tawbah. He made repentance, so here is the rain." So Musa said, "Tell me who this person is. I want to congratulate him." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I hid his sin for 40 years. You want me to expose him now that he made tawbah?" وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. The scholars mention this story because the lesson of it is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fear a trial that does not afflict only those who have done evil." If people in the ummah do evil, it might be enough for the entire ummah to be afflicted, even if the entire ummah has not done evil. And so it's a reminder that through tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the situation of a people. فَأَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam foretold for us one of the realities that we have seen in the world. He said, "Yushak an tudaa alaykum al-umam kama tadaa al-akalatu ala qas'atiha." He said, "Perhaps there will be a day that the nations will call one another against you, just as diners invite one another to eat food. If you had a spread of food and you tell other people, 'Hey, come and enjoy, join me and eat some of this food,' that they will treat the ummah like this. They will call each other and say, 'Hey, come and take some.'" And this happened. We know the Sykes-Picot Agreement, where the English and the French sat down and had negotiations. What part of the ummah are you going to take? What part of the Muslim lands are for you? What parts are for me? And Russia was involved, and Russia would get this area, and the English would get this, and the French would get that. They sat down and they had negotiations about this. And in fact, I saw something amazing just a week ago or so. There was a painting. This is a real painting. I found it in the British Museum online. A painting of the English king, the French king, the Russian, one other, I don't, maybe the Austrian or something. Four sovereigns. And they're standing in front of a turkey to be eaten. And the head of the turkey, you can message me, I'll send you the actual photo. The head of the turkey is the Sultan, the Khalifa of the Muslims, the Ottoman Sultan. And each of them are commenting. One of them is saying, "I want to eat from this part." The other one's saying, "I want to eat from that part." They're having like the Prophet ﷺ gave us an example of what would happen. But subhanAllah, they saw it exactly that way the Prophet ﷺ described it. They saw it as though now's the time we're all going to take from this food and we're going to eat it. The companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "أَوَ مَقِلَّةٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ." They said, "Are we too few, O Messenger of Allah, on that day? Are we so small that we're being bullied by all these powers and all these nations?" And the Prophet said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٍ. He said, no, on that day you're going to be many. There's going to be a lot of you. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءَ كَغُثَاءَ السَّيِّدِ. But you are like the foam on the sea. The foam on the sea. It's ineffective. It just goes wherever the wave takes it. وَلِيَنْزَعَنَّ اللَّهَ مِن صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. That Allah will take fear of you out of the hearts of your enemies, and He will place in your hearts al-wahan. The companions asked the Prophet, what is al-wahan? The Prophet used an old Arabic term. They asked the Prophet, what is al-wahan? قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةِ الْمَوْتِ. He said, it is to love the dunya and it is to hate death. One of the reasons for the fall of this ummah is too much love for the dunya. What derives nifaq, hypocrisy? Fear. People fear losing the dunya. أَشْشَيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. Allah says, shaitan promises you poverty. When he makes you afraid of losing your money, when he makes you afraid of losing your status and your position, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Then he commands you to do evil things. But the fear of losing the dunya is what leads you to do evil things. We overcome that by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by having an akhirah-centric mentality, to realize that this dunya is not worth that much. That you know that sacrificing even your life to defend the innocent, to uphold the truth, becomes easy when you know that the dunya is not worth that much. When you believe, actually believe, that your rizq is written by Allah Azza wa Jalla, nobody can take it away from you. When you believe that nothing can bring your death forward and nothing can delay it. When you actually believe this, and that love of the dunya starts to leave our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our situation. We have to embody this in our lives. Say, I'm not going to speak because I'm going to lose my job. And that fear of the dunya, that love of the dunya, still in our hearts. Say the truth. Be smart about how you say, but say the truth.